So our speaker today, Ruth, will share her experience for 20 minutes on step 12, which is page 89 in the big book. Take it away, Ruth.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everybody. Your evening, sorry. Good night to you. Good morning to me. It's Ruth. Al-Anon, chaos creator and controller fixer. It's really lovely to be here. I don't get to this meeting very often, but today I'm leading a little bit on step 12, and I always have quite a bit of a pray before I lead, because you know I'm not quite sure what direction my higher power, who I call beloved, wants me to go in. And step 12 is beautiful because it's like many of our steps, it's so many different parts to it. And as you know, it's on page 89 in chapter 7, which is entitled Working with Others. And I love that each step is found in a chapter that gives a really specific instruction, even in the name, actually. So working with others. So step 12, of course, is having had a spiritual awakening. As a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to Alcoholics Al-Anoners, people of our denomination and others, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So there's three parts there, isn't there? In 20 minutes, I won't have time to do any of that justice except a little. So I guess what I got moved to speak on today or share today really was to do with the act of trying to carry the message, you know, even though practicing the principles in all our affairs is extremely important and maintains our spiritual wellness or sobriety, really. And unless we're doing that, our usefulness to others will soon dry up, won't it? And of course, the first part of it is having had a spiritual awakening. So I'm probably going to talk a little bit more about my own personal experience, just a little bit, because I think I know for me, when I hear others share about what the steps mean for them and how it's grown in their hearts, I find that really illuminating and beautiful. So just briefly, the spiritual awakening that was given to me by the grace of my beloved in this program was really quite profound. I have shared before on other meetings that I did have a relationship with a higher power, but it was very private and very personal. It was probably just segmented to my moments in the forest, or it was relegated to kind of a tiny, tiny part in my life that felt like my meditative life. I had no idea that actually those, you know, a spiritual life could be led. And in fact, that I, you know, on an everyday basis, particularly in relation to my disease, that I could actually wake up each day and offer, you know, my life. God gave me my life, but here I am offering it back, as if it really works that way. But that on a daily basis, I could really, really invite my beloved into every single aspect of my life, and that was essential. If not only was I going to actually be able to live a life that I'd never managed to live due to my spiritual malady, you know, and we find that, don't we, on, I think it's page 52. I'm really bad at remembering page numbers. It's not my thing at all. I'm a really, more a heart girl, not a head girl. But those bedevilments, and they certainly had, you know, absolutely infiltrated my life. So, you know, when I came to this program and was actually shown through working the BBA and through particularly steps 2 and 3, how to begin the journey of trying to turn my, having the willingness, but to be shown day by day and step by step and meeting by meeting and moment by moment, how to turn my life over to the care and love of my beloved, and to know that my beloved really, really wanted to take care of me, you know, in a way I'd never experienced before. You know, as someone growing up in an alcoholic home, I'd kind of like searched my whole life through many relationships and many activities for someone to take care of me or someone love me, you know, making millions of mistakes all over the place, becoming completely codependent, joining cults, all sorts of crap, you know, searching for someone, something to desperately love me and fill the hole that I felt in, not only in my heart, but in my soul. And imagine my surprise when I come here and to find that the secret spot that I've been, you know, squirreling away, almost like saving, you know, lolly wrappers or lollies in the down the bottom of your cupboard as a kid. I don't know if you guys did that. You know, that in fact you could have a whole feast every single day. So my spiritual awakening was really sweet, but really profound. And I love in the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer that, you know, I got to look at the wreckage of my past, many things that I had so much shame about. And I got to look at those very kindly and very loving with a sponsor, which we'll get to in a second, since that's what 12 step is part is to do with. And that what was so different was that there was just love. There was honesty, there was rigorous honesty, but there was love. It was met with kindness and love and compassion and empathy. And that brings me to really what I really wanted to talk to today. So just quickly, my spiritual awakening was an essential part of actually having any of the requirements to even put my hand up to begin to do the service. And of course, like many of us, when we first start out and we get towards step 12, I think, what have I got to offer? I don't know anything. I'm not like you guys that can, you know, quote things from the book and know what pages it's on and blah, blah, blah. That was another delusion, wasn't it? I mean, that's true, that I didn't know how to do those things, but the delusion was that I needed to be a cookie cutter version of, you know, some of the beautiful, powerful speakers that I've heard. I'll never be a Jeff. I'll never be a Betsy. I'll never be a whoever, you know. But guess what? We don't have to be. I just have to be me, because my good old garden variety of spiritual malady and the mess I've made in my life and some of the things I was most ashamed of have ended up being the most profound moments of sharing and caring. When we talk about sharing our experience, strength and hope, some of the things that I never thought would see the light of day other than with a therapist or with my sponsor have ended up being incredibly powerful and useful for my work with my sponsees. So I guess what I wanted to talk about really was the attention and care, the meta heart bits, the meta skills, but more than that, they're not skills, the meta bits that, you know, my beloved planted in my heart when it came to working with others. And why is that given to us? It's given to us because the service that we give by the grace of our beloved or higher power is part of the beautiful chain of this powerful program. I sometimes think about it being, you know, here we are at the site of, you know, an earthquake where there's massive destruction, you know, and we're brick by brick, we're taking the rubble away, brick by brick, to, you know, to bring the people from the wreckage of their past, to bring them out, you know, to let those beautiful people who are our brethren and our family and our, you know, the people we can relate to be rescued from the rubble again. So what does it take, and what did my beloved grow in me? I guess I always have been an empath, if I'm honest. I have, you know, always been an empath, you know, rightly or wrongly, and sometimes that was part of my codependency and it was part of the currency that I used just to get love back. But in its purest form, my beloved, I believe, granted something in my heart, which was that I really wanted to actually share this message. You know, I'm quite a shy girl, really. I sometimes talk too much and don't say what I really feel or mean. That's been certainly one of my my bedevilments and my spiritual malady. But to come to a program where actually we're allowed, not only we're allowed, but we're encouraged to be truly honest, and that you know, any love, any empathy, any care that we have in our hearts is really harnessed, I believe, through this program. So by the time we get to step 12, even though I was really nervous and really scared and did feel like I was all qualified, I really wanted to actually be of some use, because in my life I hadn't really been able to do that. And, you know, I'd seen that this program had actually transformed me. But most importantly, I was ready to just open my heart and be of service. And, you know, of course I was nervous. I felt, again, the first time I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do when I've got all the prayers written down and all the instructions, page 84 to 86 and blah, 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 and all of this stuff. And, you know, what I got met with, which was so, so beautiful and so ironic, was, you know, these beautiful, beautiful sponsors that wanted to follow it to the letter. And I realized somewhere in that process that what was happening was that, you know, sometimes we can get caught up exactly in the process of doing something. And what I found really that I was tapped on the shoulder to do and to bear witness to, but to be really honest about, with particularly the first couple of women I worked with, was that this is an experience, that this is, you know, for this to be useful, it has to be an experience, first of all, of some kind. It's not necessarily just a rote learning, go through a set of instructions. So what I got called, I felt, to do and be with these women was really authentic and help them dive a bit deeper into, you know, not just answering the questions for the sake of them, but really, really to be in their hearts and be with, you know, first of all, you know, to help them find a relationship with their own higher power. And I'll get to that in a minute. But to really take the time to actually empty their heads and let whatever, you know, what was truly in their heart speak to them, even if they felt ashamed of it or unsure of it or thought that I would do X, Y, Z or think X, Y, Z about them. So there was a certain kind of trust, really, and, you know, and I think that is one of the really key components, isn't it, that, you know, when our sponsors come to us, they don't know us from Bloody Mary or from Adam's apple. So, you know, I love that they talk in the book about being a friend, truly being a friend, not the useless kind of friend I'd been, the flaky friend that's kind of, yeah, I'll help you, and I don't turn up, or I sort of, we have a friendship for 2 months and then I disappear. You know, the kind of friend where you just, I don't mean that they're utterly dependent on you at all, because in fact, that isn't the way of BBA and it isn't the way that I believe we should be sponsors. You know, the friend is kind of the place where you hold a space for them to be heard and seen and cared about until, and, you know, in combination with them growing the trust in their hearts for them to develop their relationship with their higher power. So there's a certain point in the beginning of the work, and I'm speaking to the converted here, aren't I? But there's a certain place in the beginning of the work where particularly if someone doesn't have any relationship at all with the higher power and hasn't got an effing clue what you even mean when you say that, there's a space that, you know, this is a spiritual-based program. They come in with their desperation. They're doing step one. They've really acknowledged their need, you know, their desperate need for love and care and, you know, and a miracle, really, as we all went through. They're looking at the wreckage of the past. They're looking at the broken bits of themselves and their lives. I certainly was. But there's this space before they grow a relationship with their higher power or even have a clue what that is. And I think in that time particularly, there needs to be a kind of presence and care. And, you know, for me, I kept chipping away very gently. I wouldn't ram higher power, God down their throats at all. It was more an exploration of, you know, where is your heart, first of all? Do you ever remember a time where there was a sense of a presence of kindness and love that you didn't even understand, that was probably even beyond, you know, didn't even come from a human source or may have. So it's that moment, you know, there's that that needs a lot of care and attention. And I found that to be one of the most, in the beginning and certainly even ongoing, you know, moments of helping or just being present, at, you know, in that journey with my sponsees until they start to grow something. And it's a bit like, you know, when you're watching someone you really love learn something. Wow, look at that. Time's gone. I've hardly said anything. I've got 5 minutes. Good on you. I'm a bit of a babbler and a wanderer in these talks. I'm so sorry. I start saying, say this and this and this. God says, say that and that and that. And of course, that, all of that goes out the window. This is what you get. So, you know, to be honest, that's been one of my most the most heartfelt and, you know, for me, the most incredibly nourishing, beautiful gift of grace that my beloved can give me is that moment and that time and that ongoing state of being with a sponsee and, you know, while they grow that and learn that. And, you know, I actually consider it to be a bit of a sacred mission. Now, I'm not doing anything. I'm just turning up. I'm turning up with I do have a big fat heart with a lot of empathy, and I'm turning up, and it's been honed, thank God, through the BBA process, possibly and hopefully to be of some use. But I am turning up for that bit of the work and all the rest of the work. One, because I really care, and two, because it was given to me, and three, because, you know, it's a moment where I get fed back, and my beloved, you know, our beloved, my beloved in that moment, you know, really, really fills me up. If I can shut up, empty myself out, then something really beautiful comes in. And, you know, I always get off a call with or working with others feeling like, oh, thank you, beloved. You know, it's like you go to some beautiful cathedral or you're in a meadow and you just get filled with this light and grace and presence that's just so, oh, it just renders me speechless. I'll probably cry because when I think about that, and you know, isn't it incredible that here we are, we're supposedly giving to others or being of service, and yet actually what you're getting back is being filled up with moments of grace. And it definitely is a deepening. It is for me. It's one of the moments where deeply this program has kind of deepened even more in my heart and my reason for wanting to continue it and work with it and believe in it and trust in it and trust in my beloved gets kind of really fertilized in that moment. I don't really know what else to say. You know, there's a million things to say, isn't there? And I think that's the main thing I really wanted to say. You know, just keep turning up. It isn't about me. I hope I haven't given the feeling that that's what I feel. I don't at all. I'm really talking about that it feels like one of the moments of grace that, you know, our beloveds and our higher power can get to use us and grow us and give to others and give to us at the same time. So I'm going to be a dag and I'm going to read a really beautiful Rabindranath Tagore quote that I've always loved, and I found it again recently. Actually, I just found it the other day when I was thinking about step 12. And for me, it encapsulates a lot of what this BBA press sneakily gives us, you know, gorgeously and sneakily. And it's, I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy. So, you know, in your own ways, may you serve with your beautiful hearts and your experiences and your wonderful wisdom that you've all gathered, you know, in your life and through BBA and your own journey. And may your hearts be filled with your own beloved and your higher power and with the joy of that too. Thanks, guys.